The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it. All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, December 13th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our little corner of cyberspace we call Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, the home of the Russ Belleville Show, Toker Talk Radio, A Different View, Big Daddy Finks, Funky Roller Rink, Red Eyes Reggae Flashback, The Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, and The New Viper Hour. That's right, 16 new hours of programming every week right here at RadicalRust.com. Thanks for being here, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana media. Joining us here in the studio, we've got Brian the Red hanging out there on mic two. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing just fine. It's actually sunny out there, though a little bit cold, so my skate was fairly nice.
Yeah, I was wondering what that big glowing yellow disc in the sky was.
Yeah, you know, most of the time when we see that big yellow glowy ball, we run and hide inside.
Hide!
It's coming for us again! We don't know what it is, but anyway.
We got a great show for you today coming up. Today is our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. We do this on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month, and today, joining us from Pittsburgh, we've got Patrick K. Nightingale. He's a criminal defense attorney and a former prosecutor with all C's on criminal law and how it refers to marijuana and driving and all of that. So we'll take a little time to talk to him and maybe even take some calls if you have questions for Patrick Nightingale in our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. In our Radical Rant today, we're going to take another look at driving and drug testing and what the facts are about people who use cannabis and drive. So we will look at the science, the most recent science, and some information that was forwarded to me from Normal's Paul Armentano to take a realistic look at the subject. We've also got a stupid prohibition story today, basically a checklist of what you need to do if you really, really want to go to prison for drugs. And we've got our daily Toker tunes. Today is Groovin' Thursday. I got another song turned in by one of our listeners out there, and we'll get to that. It's called Schedule 1. We'll be playing that at 20 after. But first, we've got our headline news, our 420 headline news. And in today's news, a senator talks about making an exception for marijuana legalization at the federal level. A Eugene dispensary owner is charged with 7 felonies. Polls show that people want pot kept out of bars and restaurants. Ohio voters take a look at marijuana legalization and the tough road ahead for medical marijuana in Minnesota. All that and more coming up on The Russ Belleville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Children!
My God! Won't somebody think of the children?
Now it's time for our 420 headline news. Kerry Gallagher's on holiday break. I'm Russ Belville with the news. Patrick Leahy floats legalizing marijuana possession at the federal level for pro-pot states. This from HuffingtonPost.com. Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, reached out to Gil Kerlikowske, director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, on Thursday in an effort to find out how the federal government intends to deal with states like Colorado and Washington that have recently legalized marijuana possession. In addition to seeking clarity about the administration's plans, however, Leahy also offered a solution to allow the government to extricate itself from the situation of having to enforce federal laws that consider marijuana to be an illegal substance. One option would be to amend the Federal Controlled Substances Act to allow possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, at least in jurisdictions where it is legal under state law, Leahy wrote. The Federal Controlled Substances Act currently lists marijuana as a Schedule I drug, alongside heroin, LSD, and ecstasy. The owner of a Eugene Medical Marijuana Club charged with 7 felonies, this from the Eugene Register Guard. More than 3 months after police raided his Eugene Medical Marijuana Club and arrested him, the owner of the now shuttered business was formally charged Wednesday with racketeering, money laundering, and illegally growing and selling pot. Cannabosum owner Curtis Dean Shimon, age 54, did not enter a plea after being arraigned in Lane County Circuit Court. He is scheduled to return to court next month. Shimon was arrested August 30th, the day that police emptied his club of pot intended for state-registered medical marijuana cardholders. Shimon was briefly held in the Lane County Jail before being released. Detectives with Lane County's Interagency Narcotics Enforcement Team seized $60,000 in cash, a sport utility vehicle, and an automated teller machine from Shimon and his club on the day of the raid. Lane County authorities have asked a judge to allow the county to keep the confiscated cash and property because they believe it is connected to a criminal drug operation involving Shimon. Shimon, a rural Douglas County resident who is a state-licensed medical marijuana grower, opened Cannabosom during the summer of 2011. Detectives began an investigation in October of that year after a confidential informant reported that medical marijuana cardholders were purchasing pot from Shimon's Club at, quote, street-level prices, end quote, after paying a club membership fee, according to a search warrant affidavit filed in court by State Police Detective David Glass. The informant subsequently bought marijuana from Cannabosom four times, using the interagency drug team's funds to purchase the pot while under detective surveillance, according to the affidavit. New poll says where pot is legal, keep it out of bars and restaurants. This from Huffington Post. A new HuffPost YouGov poll found that 49% of Americans say that in states where marijuana is legal, bars and restaurants should totally ban smoking the substance inside. 36% said bars and restaurants should set aside certain areas where smoking marijuana is permitted, and only 4% said bars and restaurants should have no restrictions on smoking marijuana. In contrast, 46% of Americans surveyed think bars and restaurants should set aside areas for cigarette smoking, while 44% said bars and restaurants should ban it completely. Respondents to the survey also said by a 50-36 margin that marijuana policies for bars and restaurants should be determined by state governments rather than be up to the establishments themselves. For cigarette smoking policies, more respondents said that those should be set by the bars and restaurants themselves, 49-41%. Ohio voters split on same-sex marriage and marijuana, according to Newsmax.com. Legalizing marijuana, according to a new Quinnipiac University poll, says Ohio voters are divided evenly on legalizing marijuana. The results of this poll were released Wednesday, according to the Dayton Daily News. On the question of legalizing marijuana, voters were split right down the middle, with 47% for it and 47% against it, according to the poll. Medical marijuana faces a tough road in Minnesota, from Minnesota Public Radio. Supporters of medical marijuana face a tough road in Minnesota, where Governor Mark Dayton has said he won't sign anything relaxing the state's drug laws without the backing of law enforcement officials who are showing no signs of budging. Marijuana Policy Project's lobbyist Tom Lehman challenged authorities who don't like what they see in California or Colorado to use their expertise to help Minnesota come up with a way to, quote, help us do it right. And that's your 420 headline news for today, Thursday, December 13th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going to get a stupid prohibition story from our favorite 1920s old-timey radio reporter, our correspondent Freddie Farrakh, when we come back.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Stupid prohibition. Story.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition stories.
For your stupid prohibition stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio. radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. From the DailyHeraldOnline.com, speeding leads to marijuana bust. On Saturday night, police arrested a man on DUI and drug complaints after he was pulled over for speeding. Records show that about 10 p.m., Patrolman Clayton observed a silver Chevrolet pickup driving 45 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. Clayton got behind the vehicle and initiated a traffic stop. Clayton made contact with the driver, who identified himself and gave his birthday. While speaking with the driver, the officer could smell an odor associated with burnt marijuana. While checking the driving history of the driver, dispatch told Clayton that he had a warrant out in Payne County for possession with intent to distribute. Dispatch also told the officer the driver's license was suspended. During a search of the vehicle, Clayton recovered a black bag containing approximately 12.7 grams of marijuana behind the passenger seat. Police found burnt marijuana behind the passenger seat. They also found a burnt marijuana roach on the floorboard of the front seat, which the driver said he had been smoking about an hour before the stop. The driver also had a clear plastic baggie containing about 0.7 grams of a white powdery substance, which field tested positive for cocaine. They also found a wallet in his right rear pocket containing $700 cash. Clayton also asked if he would like to speak about the drugs. The driver agreed by signing a Miranda waiver. The driver told Clayton he had a degree, but the economy was so bad he had to make money to support his family by selling marijuana. Police ran a background check on the driver and discovered that he had a previous conviction for possession of marijuana with intent to distribute and conviction for possession of drug paraphernalia out of Payne County in 2010. The driver is currently at Creek County Justice Center, and his bond is set at $45,000. I'm Freddie Farrakh for your stupid Prohibition stories.
What are we going to do
about these guys getting busted? Look, if your license is suspended, there's a warrant out for you, and you're carrying weed and coke, slow down. Slow down. Just drive slower. Follow, obey the law. Try not to attract attention to yourself. And if you do happen to, you know, I know how it is. You lose track of time. You lose track of what's going on. You're not paying attention. You're going 10 miles over the limit. And you do get pulled over. Shut up. Shut up. You. I'm talking to you. Shut up. Stop talking in front of uniforms. STFU. There is nothing, absolutely nothing you can say to a cop that is going to make that situation any better. You got warrants out for you. You got a suspended license. You got contraband on you. Shut up. Let your lawyer do the talking for you later. If you admit to stuff, if you sign a Miranda waiver, if you tell the cop, gosh, the economy's bad, I've been selling weed to help make ends meet, your lawyer is screwed. He can't help you in court. You've given up your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. You have admitted to committing crimes in front of an officer of the law while committing crimes in front of an officer of the law. Shut up. If there was just one thing over 5 years that I've been doing this, over the over 1,000 shows that I have put on, of the millions of words I've written on this subject, if I could just pound two of them into the heads of young people and some middle-aged people, it would be shut up. There's no way you're going to talk yourself out of it. Cops' jobs are to collect evidence to convict you of crimes. All you can do by talking is provide them more evidence. And people think, well, you know, don't deny things. Don't admit to things. Say nothing. You say, officer, I think I need to observe my right to remain silent, and I'd like to talk to a lawyer. That's the only thing you need to say. And by the way, make sure you do say that. A recent Supreme Court decision has found, and I know this is going to blow your mind, that in order to maintain, in order to use your right to remain silent, you must speak up. Say that again, slowly, for the people with logic and reason. In order to observe your right to remain silent, you must speak up. I know, but they have ruled that you have to say, I'm observing my right to remain silent, to actually trip the legal barrier that says, yes, now you're observing your right. So do that. Ask for a lawyer and shut up. Everything changes from that point on, and things will go a whole lot better for you if you just follow that simple advice. I can't take it no more. I want my friends to do a 420 celebration with me, and I don't want them behind bars.
Damn right.
We need your help, and you can't help us if you lose your right to vote and if you're sitting in a jail cell. So be smart.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Fun, fun, fun. Mm.
Don't let him down, Fox.
Ooh, yeah.
No, 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 no.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Just like that, baby. Don't stop. Mmm. I like it. You like it, baby? Yeah.
No, no, sugar won't do it.
Feels good, right?
No.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, rollery, rollery,
rollery. Don't let him down.
I'm just overjoyed. I've been cannabis activist for 40 years.
We're turning the corner on a failed policy that's been disastrous for our communities, and things are going to get better.
80 years ago, we repealed alcohol prohibition in this state. We did it prior to the federal government, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to marijuana. We are a step ahead, and we will continue to lead the way. It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight!
Some call it marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Some of them call it cannabis. Never mind. Legalize it.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, time for that 420 break, and we go on the R&B hip-hop tip here on our Groovin' Thursdays, and this next song comes to us from HDI Records, and the rapper and CEO of HDI Records is Sir Robert Wayne. You can find him on Twitter, at ShooterNC, North Carolina in the house. Got some Tar Heel music coming at you. This is, I think, the artist. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't got all the details straight, but I'm sure you can go to the website and find more. Shooter and MJD with their latest song, Schedule One. Dig it.
Dr. Aaron Karchner studied 25 heavy marijuana users. None, zero of the 25 had readings above 5 nanograms. Beef Sarich is getting his facts from the department right out of his ass.
Hats, hoes, pounds, roll it up, blow it down. Got enough to go around. Dope, that's Schedule One. Bong grips, bowl hits, edibles, trippy sticks. Don't you want to take a hit? Dope, that's Schedule One. I'm screaming, fuck some prohibition. I'm smoking in the C-class cause police won't catch us slipping. I used to move OZs, but now I move CDs. Not fucking with nobody while I'm ducking Malden PD. My music getting played, so people show us love. I wake and bake that Mary, but I don't fuck with drugs. And everywhere that I go, I be on the top flow, eyes low. Cause I got this QP in my sock drone. HD out of business, but you think I'm on the block though. You ain't seen a pound, so what the fuck you on the block for? Put it in your racks, but you should probably get a job, bro. This shit is second nature, man. I do this with my eyes closed. We just sit back, roll up. I'm talking lettuce. Cold cuts, yeah. I keeps around. In your town, I need a pound. HCL, we going green, I swear we keeping trees around. This is quarters, halves, hoes, pounds. Roll it up, blow it down. Got enough to go around. Dope, that's schedule one. Bong rips, bowl hits, edibles, trippy sticks. Don't you wanna take a hit? Dope, that's schedule one. This is quarters, halves, hoes, pounds. Roll it up, blow it down. Got enough to go around. Dope, that's schedule one. Bong rips, bowl hits, edibles, trippy sticks. Don't you wanna take a hit? Dope, that's schedule one.
HDI Records, One Drop is the name of the tune, and music's by MJD, and it features vocals by John Shooter Hargrove. So let's get into it. This is HDI Records.
Try and tell me Kush worse than cocaine. Heart in my rhetoric, but what the fuck is on your brain? They say we radical cause we don't hear the hash. You see that Limbaugh bullshit be everything but factual. Think how many actual ODs you ever seen because somebody smoked weed. Crickets, can't show me where it's written. My hood is not in Arbor, I dig before I start spitting. You don't tell them how I help with people's surgery. Nah. And you don't tell them how you were legally searching me. Just took a second to show y'all what it is. Cause they pumping Adderall, but they gon' lock you for a spliff. I don't live in the West, so I'm putting up with the shit. Playing Radical Russ while I'm coming up with these hits. Roll it up, take a hit. And when they pull me over, I'll probably be saying this. This is quarters, halves, hoes, pounds. Roll it up, blow it down. Got enough to go around. Dope, that's schedule one. Bong rips, bowl hits, edibles, trippy sticks. Don't you wanna take a hit? Dope, that's schedule one. This is quarters, halves, hoes, pounds. Roll it up, blow it down. Got enough to go around. Dope, that's schedule one. Bong rips, bowl hits, edibles, trippy sticks. Don't you wanna take a hit? Dope, that's schedule one.
Actually, I haven't had a chance to talk to Mr. Osborne before the show, but we had a great discussion about it. I just asked one of the folks in the show, Bob Back. I said, well, what is Louis Armstrong going to do? Oh, he says, oh, he's going way up.
Way up.
Is that the highest you could get?
Well, I don't know.
Well, why don't you let me say thank you? I'm only sorry you weren't going to be here with us longer. I wish you could have gotten higher, but why don't you go over and say hello to the folks?
Well, I'll get higher next time.
Take a look at those empty rappers.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. Start
to fly, if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
All right, folks, here, second Thursday, fourth Thursday of every month, we visit with a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and today we go to the great state of Pennsylvania, to the western side there, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to be specific. Patrick Nightingale is on the phone waiting for us. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm absolutely fantastic, Russ, and how are you doing this evening?
Doing great. We actually have a little sun break here in Portland, Oregon, so we can remember what it's like to be human, so it's very nice. Patrick is a Pittsburgh criminal defense attorney. He's a former prosecutor and a proud member of NORML, the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, and Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. So, Patrick, it sounds like you've been both sides of the drug war, defending people who've been charged, and as a prosecutor, did you have to charge people with drug crimes?
Yes, I did. What we dealt with primarily here in Pittsburgh was dealing with young men, gangs facing mandatory minimum state sentences for peddling relatively small amounts of cocaine or heroin.
Right, right. And, you know, I imagine a lot of it, too, was kind of like the a revolving door, if you will, where you kept seeing the same people over and over again.
Absolutely. What we found is that there was absolutely no impact at the street level. You take a dealer off today and he's replaced by someone tomorrow. The rates of addiction did not go down. The street price of the narcotics involved never changed, meaning the supply was never interrupted by street level enforcement efforts. And all we succeeded in doing is warehousing a large percentage of our young African-American population here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we've seen some pretty damning stats on that. I know when I spoke with the guys at Philly NORML in Philadelphia, it was something like 81% of all possession arrests were African-American. Do you have any similar statistics to kind of gauge the level there in Pittsburgh?
No, we didn't have that same type of issue that Philadelphia had. But realistically speaking, in our minority neighborhoods, the police officers are there and they are looking for the opportunity to make traffic stops. If they smell someone smoking a blunt or, you know, that right turn without using a signal, and then turning that into a larger traffic stop to flip the car to look for guns and drugs.
So there would be some, I think, that might say, you know, with our drug laws that give that pretext for officers to catch guys with guns, isn't that a good thing?
Well, you know, on the one hand, you can say yes, but the war on drugs is being used as a tremendous invasion of privacy. It's being used as an excuse to put disproportionate amount of police resources in, you know, otherwise law-abiding neighborhoods merely because of a suspicion that the individuals in that neighborhood in a lower socioeconomic group are more prone to engage in some type of narcotic dealing behavior. And the other part of it to remember is what is causing a lot of this drug-related violence? Is it that there are people who are just violent by their very nature, who are drug dealers and in the drug game? Or is it a direct result of prohibition? Where is the violence coming from? And it's our position in Law Enforcement Against Prohibition that all of the violence we see associated with the war on drugs and with the violent street gangs is a direct result of prohibition, just like it was in the 1930s with alcohol prohibition.
Absolutely. Now, Patrick, I'm wondering, you know, I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest, and we had marijuana legalization get passed in Washington State and Colorado this last election. How is that reverberating in Pennsylvania? Is this leading more people to want to examine drug reform there?
Yes, absolutely. It has given us the opportunity to speak more in the media here locally. And we believe that in 2013, we may have either a legalization bill or a decriminalization bill being introduced in Pennsylvania. Yes, Pennsylvania is what I refer to as the hinterlands of cannabis reform, unfortunately. But even Republicans are having a fresh look at this issue, with polling numbers close to 60% in favor, rolling with the states' rights issue, and asking ourselves, is this an appropriate use of limited law enforcement resources and law enforcement dollars?
And I'm hoping that argument is starting to, change some minds there. I would prefer that we would not arrest and incarcerate people for their personal choices for reasons of liberty or privacy or just the right thing to do. But hey, if money talks, then let's work that angle. Is there with respect to like Pennsylvania's state budget? I imagine like most states are probably really hurting for money. So is that part of the angle here in selling this to these reluctant politicians?
Absolutely. When our governor, Governor Corbett, took over in 2011, he took an axe to our education budget, to our transit budget, and to a number of other, state-sponsored agencies. And on the one hand, he was appropriate to be fiscally prudent, but we don't have the money. We cannot afford these cuts. Our schools cannot afford to have 10% of their budget just lopped off by the governor. We need more money. And a few years ago, we legalized gambling in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We did not legalize gambling because we like gambling, or we want people to gamble, or we think gambling is a good thing. We legalized it because we needed the money. We needed the tax revenue that was otherwise going to West Virginia and to New Jersey that had legal gambling.
Well, that bodes well for, the progression of medical marijuana laws and legalization laws leading to that kind of economic, to quote Ross Perot, that giant sucking sound of money and jobs and talent leaving, in your case with gambling, West Virginia and Virginia. So I imagine that as we move eastward with these reforms, that will be a compelling argument for many of these states. I know here in Oregon, it's already caused our state's largest newspaper to call on the legislature to legalize because they don't want to see all the money and jobs go all across the border to Washington.
That makes perfect sense. One thing that I've been talking about a lot here, and the provision that was in Colorado's initiative, is that the first $40 million in tax revenue goes to Colorado's Department of Education.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's one of the big selling points.
With $40 million in cash.
Go ahead. Say again. I'm sorry. We dropped you for just a second. Patrick? Seem to have some problems with our connection with Patrick Nightingale. See if we can get this to adjust a little bit. Are you still there, Patrick? You hearing me okay? All right, so we're going to take a quick little break, see if we can fix what we might be having here for technical difficulties. So stay tuned. We'll return with Patrick Nightingale if we can. You're listening to The Russ Belvel Show, and here is some music from my brother Josh. We'll see if we got Patrick back on the line there. Patrick, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I apologize. My hands-free went dead on me.
Oh, I know how that goes. Absolutely. So, we were just discussing about how you had pointed out Pennsylvania had recently legalized gambling, partially due to the pressure of the other states around it. So how much pressure do the states see? I mean, Pennsylvania is kind of abutting up against New Jersey and the New England states. How much effect does that have out in Pittsburgh, though?
I don't think it's going to have much of an effect here in Pittsburgh or in southwestern Pennsylvania. But what I'd like to do is point out that Colorado's initiative provides for $40 million in tax revenue
the first $40 million in tax revenue to go to the Colorado Department of Education. That is something that I think will resonate across the board here in Pennsylvania. If we can make a credible claim that we can put $40 or $50 million in the coffers of Pennsylvania's Department of Education, from which they can do bond issues, municipal bond issues, and generate hundreds of millions of dollars for our schools.
It seems to me that with the argument for gambling, and what level of gambling are we talking about in Pennsylvania? State lottery, basically?
No, we've got table gaming, slot machines, full casino right here in Pittsburgh.
Okay, great. So, you know, it seems to me over time, the stigma or the moralization against gambling has kind of subsided, whereas with marijuana use, there's still a lot of cultural stigma attached to it. So how will we address that in order to prevent our opponents from saying, oh, yeah, you're going to make money for schools by promoting evil?
Yes, exactly. And it's having more people such as myself who are professionals, who are educated, who break that stereotype of the, you know, tie-dye, dreadlocked stoner in the park playing with the frisbee and saying, no, we are parents, we are professionals, we have college degrees, we work, we pay our taxes. We are the face of the cannabis community, and it is not the, you know, Cheech and Chong stereotype that you might have from the 1970s. You know, it is our burden and our responsibility to show our policymakers that, no, this is something that citizens in Pennsylvania do. They do responsibly. They do on a regular basis. They do not go out there and operate motor vehicles under the influence of cannabis. They do not cause collateral problems. They don't fight in the parking lot at Steeler games, all buzzed up on weed. They don't get into fights at any of our popular nightlife areas around here. And to say, listen, the myths that have been built up around this, the prejudices and the stereotypes that have existed without any basis whatsoever, we are here to debunk, we are here to shatter once and for all, and let's sit down and have a discussion about this so that we can put our cards on the table and help to educate our policymakers who are on the fence about this. We're not going to win everybody over, but we don't have to. We need to win 51%.
There we go. And have you gotten any poll data on Pennsylvanians' attitudes toward legalization that indicates that we're close to 51%?
No, we don't have any poll data for legalization in Pennsylvania. Our most recent poll data was from 2010, showing close to 80% support for medical marijuana in Pennsylvania, either supporting or strongly supporting it. And that polling was done in the context of our gubernatorial race in 2010. Mm. But those numbers were striking to see that close to 80% of those polled in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania would support some form of medical marijuana. I cannot think of another political issue, legislative issue, that garners that type of support in just a random poll sent out in 2010. We are hoping that we'll have some polling numbers to gauge Pennsylvanians' reactions to full legalization soon, but I'm not aware of anything right now.
Well, you know, that's good news. And I'm wondering, I know there's been attempts, or at least people that have introduced bills for medical marijuana in Pennsylvania with 80% support like this. What's the holdup?
The holdup is that we are a traditional introduce your bill into the legislature state. We do not have ballot initiatives. Mm-hmm. Our state house, our state senate, and the governor's mansion are controlled by the Republican Party here in Pennsylvania. And our Republican Party in some parts of our state is very, very socially conservative, very, very traditional. The chair of the House committee into which the medicinal bill was introduced, Matt Baker, is from a rural central Pennsylvania county and a very, very socially conservative county. He will not permit the bill to be brought up in committee for even a committee vote. Mm-hmm. Same with his colleague in the Senate, Senator Patricia Vance, also from a very conservative district, and she will not allow the bill to come up in committee for a vote. In other words, they have killed our medicinal bills in committee, and there's not a darn thing that our bill authors can do about it.
Wow.
And on December 31st, our legislative session ends, and the bills are dead. So the burden we have now is, what do we do in 2013? Do we reintroduce medical marijuana bills and have them go right back into the same committees run by Baker and Vance? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Do we go whole enchilada and introduce a full legalization bill, get it into the Crime and Justice Committee, which I believe is chaired by a more progressive Republican senator, Senator Greenleaf, and hope for at least a fair shot at evidentiary hearings and getting an up and down vote in committee to try to get it before the full legislature? That's our burden. It's a steep uphill battle because Pennsylvania is such a large state, and the vast majority of the middle of Pennsylvania is quite socially conservative and very hard to physically reach. I can't drive 4 hours every day to go out and talk to people. But you know, the level of attention that marijuana legalization is getting on a national basis is really helping bring that message.
You know, it gets so frustrating when you realize that in these legislative situations, sometimes it's just one or two people that are your impediment, a governor or some committee chair who just won't even let the debate begin because they know if it did, we'd win. And so that's kind of the situation we get stuck in. But I tell you what, if we have another way at this with legalization, you can't do better than a Senator Greenleaf, huh? That's a good one.
Yes, Senator Stanley Greenleaf, Republican chair of the Judiciary Committee.
All right. Well, good luck on that, Patrick. And thank you for being a member of LEAP and Normal and fighting to educate people in right there in, like you said, the hinterlands of reform. We appreciate your work.
Thank you very much, Russ, and it's a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about doobies driving and drug testing. What are the facts? Are marijuana drivers to be feared? I think you know the answer to that. Stick around.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Chronic pain. Appetite stimulant. These are the users of medical marijuana. It can be vaporized. It can be eaten. It helps people live better lives, more productive lives. The more you learn about cannabis, the more it can open your mind.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, it's the subject we just can't get enough of, huh? Doobies, driving, and drug testing, and for this, I want to just take a look at some of the facts here and help people out there who are trying to make the case about marijuana and driving and give you a little bit of ammunition straight from science. So here we go. The first thing that we can say when we take a look at the studies and the information about people who use cannabis and happen to be drivers, is that far fewer individuals will operate a car after smoking marijuana than they will after drinking alcohol. Now, the drug czars out there trying to scare everybody, saying, oh my God, driving under the influence of cannabis, epidemic, stone drivers, stone mayhem on the freeway. But when we take a look at the surveys and we survey people age 16 and older, only under 3% of people age 16 or older have ever engaged in pot smoking immediately prior to or while driving. Now, you compare that with alcohol, people age 16 and older, it's just about 1 out of 5, right? About 20%. 1 out of 5 people admit they've drank and then got behind the wheel or drank behind the wheel. And 13% of the people surveyed said they did it regularly. Okay, so nobody is saying that you should be smoking behind the wheel or that you should smoke immediately prior to driving, but the people that are actually doing so, at least the ones that are admitting it on polls, are far fewer than the ones that are drinking. Some other information that we can get out of this is that, let there be no doubt, smoking marijuana makes you less good at driving. I know. There's people, I drive better when I'm stoned. And for a tiny subset of people with certain tremor issues or pain issues, you know, some hardcore medical users, that may be the case where, you know, you're in such pain or you have such jerky muscle movements that you can't possibly drive without it. Totally understood. For the purposes of this discussion, let's kind of keep it at the toker level, though. Most of you tokers out there do not drive better when you are stoned compared to when you are sober. But the question is, how much worse do you drive? How much worse is it? There are certain things in our society that we kind of accept as reasonable risks, right? I mean, just the fact that we allow people to drive is accepting the risk that there will be people who die on the freeways. There will be wrecks, there will be injuries. And we know this. We know this to be true. And we do everything we can to make it safer. But we do realize that in a society that's going to be free and it's going to allow people to travel freely, that there's just going to be a certain number of them that die. It's just going to happen. So the point here is to recognize what level of risk is acceptable in our driving. Now, we could mandate that no cars are ever made or sold in the United States with car stereos or the new computer, you know, navigation, super screen, you know, Star Trek stuff that they got in the cars. We could mandate that because you can find all sorts of statistics that show that those kind of devices in cars will increase death. There will be greater risk. But we seem to have recognized that, yeah, there's a trade-off. A few more people will die in wrecks from irresponsibly using this thing while they're driving, but far more of them will be responsible and gain some benefit from it. So with that in mind, we have to take a look at the things that are involved with driving and how much of a risk they are and whether or not they should be legal or illegal. We do this with text messaging and cell phones in a lot of states where the use of those without hands-free devices is completely illegal. Because we've recognized that that's too much of a risk. Too much of a risk for too little of a trade-off. You can wait to take your call later. So, with respect to marijuana and driving, how much risk is too much risk? How much more danger is worth trading the liberties or trading the rights of cannabis consumers? When we look at the facts, we look at the studies, we do find cannabis-using drivers have a greater use, a greater risk, about double. This was in the British Medical Journal. They did a meta-analysis of 9 cannabis and driving performance studies, and they found marijuana use nearly doubles the risk of driver accident. Now, this got blown up all over the media. Oh my God, you're twice as likely to get in a wreck if you're a pot smoker. If you've just recently used pot, if you're under the influence of pot, you're twice as likely to get in a wreck. Oh no. What wasn't so much publicized in the media was that this study showed that, quote, nevertheless, alcohol remains the substance most often present in crashes, and the observed association between cannabis consumption and crash risk is less robust than that for alcohol. And according to a study by the U.S. National Highway Safety and Transportation Agency, drivers with alcohol in their blood at legal limits, not past the 0.08, but legal, they're like a 0.05 to a 0.08, have as much as 17 times a greater crash risk. So yes, let's acknowledge that using marijuana and driving is not something people should be doing, and it does lead to a greater risk on the road. But let's not overblow how big that risk is. Let's not go crazy with how much that risk is. If there were a list of things that people do while they're driving, and you were to list it from greatest risk to least risk, cannabis would be way down there on that list, way below text messaging, playing with the navigator, and of course, much less than drinking. Now, another thing that we can take a look at is studies that we have of traffic fatality data that have been brought from Australia, France, and North America. And what we find is that accident risk tends to rise parallel with driver's blood THC at levels above 5 nanograms. This is what brought us the 5 nanogram per se DUID in Washington State's I-502 and the proposals in Colorado for a 5 nanogram per se DUID. Is this science? It's just data, folks. It's science. It's not something you can argue with, really, that people above 5 nanograms, generally, again, not talking everyday smokers or medical patients, but generally, your general toker, if they're above 5 nanograms, they're more likely to be in a risk. And this is indicative of cannabis use, again, for most users, from within 1 to 3 hours. So almost everybody that uses cannabis, after about 4 hours, you're going to be fine. And let me back this up with some study data. This is study data that came from Erin Karchner, who did a lot of work on this. And she studied 25 people, 25 different cannabis consumers of median age 25. So half of them were older, half of them were younger, of a BMI, and that's body mass index, of 27.1. So half of them were skinny, half of them were fat. 27 is about, you know, middle, right? And these people used an average of 12 times in 2 weeks. That's 12 days in the past 2 weeks, an average of 12. Okay. And people are using between anywhere from one blunt a day to an ounce a day, with the average in here looking to be around multiple blunts, four blunts, three, four blunts, seven joints. Okay. That's 25 people, generally speaking, that are heavy cannabis consumers, average years that they'd been using cannabis, 8 years. Okay. So not talking just, you know, people that just started, people who've been smoking a lot of pot for a long time. When they brought these people in and they tested their blood for the nanograms per milliliter that would be in their blood, they put them in a clinical setting where they had observation over them for 7 days. So they could absolutely guarantee that they weren't using marijuana. And you know what they found? They found that 11 of the patients had no detectable THC, none, zero, after the first day of not using. And only one of the 25 patients had detectable, not five, but anything detectable. Only one had a greater than 5 nanogram reading after 1 day. And nobody was above 5 nanograms the second day. Okay. So when you're hearing all of this hyperbole from people about this issue, and again, we want to fight this issue, but if we blow it up, if we start exaggerating, no patients will ever drive, everybody will always be above 5, we lose credibility. We'll dip into this a little bit more in hour 2 in Toker Talk Radio. I got more studies, more information on driving and marijuana and drug testing. Because I'm against it. You know I'm against drug testing. You know how much I hate it. But we've got to go forward in this with facts, reason, science, and logic. We got to have all of our studies lined up, and we got to know exactly what we're talking about here. Can't just go blow up with all sorts of scare stories. All right, folks. Hey, that's all the time I got for hour 1. Thanks for joining us. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seat, you
you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.